You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, happy Saturday. Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week podcast. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. All's quiet around the NFL, especially in Chiefs Kingdom right now, but we still are coming up with some conversations here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network to keep you busy while we eagerly await the updated training camp schedule. Can't wait to get up to St. Joe this year. But we'll begin today's show with Chiefs Coast to Coast. Mark Gunnels had a popular tweet this week when he put out his top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. The guys discussed that. After that, we'll take a quick timeout. When we get back, it's the Great British Chiefs Show. They discuss the five most influential players, coaches, and staff members for the Kansas City Chiefs over the last decade. That's all coming up on today's Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week.
Mark Gunnels tweeted this out yesterday, and it's the top 10 quarterbacks heading into the season. And I'm going from 1 to 10. Or should I go from 10 to 1? I'll go from 10 to 1.
Yeah, do it like that. Make it more dramatic.
Yeah. On my FS1. Russell Wilson is number 10. Dak Prescott is number 9. Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford. Joe Burrow is above Matthew Stafford at 6. Herbert, Rodgers, and then your top 3 are Brady, Allen, and Mahomes. How did you specifically get that top 3? In that order, Tom Brady in year 81 is the third best quarterback on your list. Josh Allen is there with not much playoff success. And then Patrick Mahomes at number one.
Well, first of all, I mean, a lot of factors goes into this list. So I consider pretty much everything. I consider your physical attributes. You know, what things can you do that make you special? Like, what makes you dynamic? Like, for instance, Lamar Jackson, he's dynamic with his legs. Josh Allen, he's a little mixture of everything. He can run with his legs. He has power. Obviously, the arm strength. His accuracy has improved. Obviously, Mahomes can do a little bit of everything as well. But when it comes to Tom Brady, he's kind of an outlier as far as the attributes, because obviously we know he's not the most physically gifted guy. But also about quarterbacking, there's a lot more into it as far as your IQ, your accuracy, your command at the line of scrimmage. And I just consider all of that. And he had a good case last year of actually winning the MVP. I mean, a lot of people think that he actually over Aaron Rodgers. And I know Aaron Rodgers won the last 2 years, and people are like, how is he number four? He's won back-to-back MVPs. Well, also consider playoff performances as well when things really matter. And people always mention his touchdown-to-interception ratio, which is great. But a lot of that has to do with him not willing to take chances. And that is a negative at times because – you know, if you really watch the Packers, especially in the playoff game against the 49ers, he didn't trust anybody outside of Devontae Adams. And if you really look at the film, there's guys that are open, but he would not take the risk. So, yes, of course, his interception numbers are going to be low when you don't take risk. And taking risk sometimes is necessary because it kind of opens up the offense. Obviously, it makes the defense have to worry about more things. I think that's kind of what a victim of Aaron Rodgers is.
All right, if you're listening to us here, we're breaking down Mark Gunnell's top 10 list that went semi-viral. I'm questioning one part of this, and I'm going to push back on you a little bit more. You said, you know, I consider playoff success and that type of thing when I'm making these kind of lists, but you have Burrow above Stafford. Did you see Super Bowl 56? Did you not catch that game? Was the TV not on that day? How can you put Burrow above Stafford when Stafford's team came out on top and got the ring?
Okay, get to like after five, all those guys are kind of interchangeable. So we're kind of splitting hairs here. But the one thing I will say, since you alluded to the Super Bowl, which I'm glad you did, let's be honest. And we know the Super Bowl is always going to be like a quarterback type of MVP award, right? But, and I know Cooper Kupp actually ended up winning it, right? If I'm not mistaken, I think he did. But yeah. Odell Beckham actually would have won if he didn't get hurt. But besides the point, Aaron Donald made the key play of the game. I mean, if it wasn't for that last play, Ja'Marr Chase was leaking open down the field, and Joe Burrow is going to have a game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. But, you know, just so happened, arguably the greatest defensive player of all time made a play. So I'm not going to hold that one game against him. Just the fact they even made the Super Bowl with that roster before the year, I know people look at it now because they got the receivers, and I get that. But if you look at all the projections before the year, the Bengals were picked to finish last in that division pretty much by anybody that was credible. So the fact that they even made it that far is a testament not only to Joe Burrow, but just the team in general. But he was obviously the leading force of that. So that's why I give him the slight edge, because I think he did more with less.
And I noticed,
I mean, look at his offensive line. I mean, he had the worst offensive line in football.
I noticed it's a Chiefs platform, Mark, but we got to have a discussion about your number one. And I'm going to approach it based off the last time we each saw these guys play football. Mahomes at number one, why? And was that an easy decision?
It was relatively easy. I'm not going to say it was just a complete slam dunk. But, you know, if you want to hold that second half against him, against Cincinnati, then go ahead. But I'm not going to put too much stock in one half of football, especially considering – when he wasn't being put in the right positions, because it makes no sense why they continued to pass the ball when they were averaging 6 or 7 yards a carry. And if you look at the film, the Bengals were having like 8 guys in coverage. So why are you passing the football? So yes, Mahomes did play bad in the second half. There's no denying that. He even said that was his worst half of football in the playoffs. So we understand that. But he's obviously not going to critique his head coach in front of the media. So that was the biggest issue for me. And we kept talking about it over and over again after the game. Why did they stop running the ball? So, yes, that goes hand in hand for me. But if you look at just everything considered, he's been to 4 straight AFC Championship games, 2 Super Bowls. You know the resume. You know his talent, his ability. There's nothing he can't do on the football field. And I think people also underestimate his legs because he doesn't do it as much. But there's so many times when it's like a 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, and nobody's open. And he does a little quick little 4 or 5 yard run, gets out of bounds, moves the chains, like stuff like that you got to account for as well. So you look at the whole package, I don't see how you can have anybody else over Patrick Mahomes right now.
I don't like that, Mark. I don't like how the narratives this offseason have been everything wrong with the Chiefs offense is, oh, they just weren't put in the right position. And everything right with the Chiefs offense is, oh, Mahomes is the most skilled quarterback ever. And look at what he can do. Nobody's more talented than him. Like, buddy has room to grow. And I'm not saying that you said that he was perfect. I know you have him at one of your lists, so I'm just offering a rebuttal to that. He did not play not only his best playoff football, it might have been his worst half of professional football. And with the game on the line in that situation, and we're talking specifically about the last time each of these guys was on the football field, was there anything more Josh Allen really could have done the last time his team was on the field versus, I think, of not only the second half, but Chiefs got the ball out of overtime, Mark. We got to start specific to the narrative around this most recent offseason and the second half of that game. It showed a lot of flaws in his decision-making specifically. Maybe a little hubris to think, oh, I can do this by myself. And I think specifically to that 1st and 10 with like 10 seconds left in regulation when Kelce comes open. It's not a squeaky clean resume. And I know that's a hard thing to say on a Chiefs platform, but there's room to grow entering year 5.
So just I'm reading between the lines here. I want to make sure I'm accurate in my assumption. So do you have Josh Allen number one?
I don't know. You know, I'm not as well versed in the FS1 clickbait top 10 quarterbacks.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm, that might be some homework for me to do for the next pod, is to sit down and try.
First of all, Aaron, there is nothing about this list that is clickbaity.
Come on.
This is a very fair and objective list.
Come on, dog.
Are you you really don't think so? Like, honestly, like, take away the you trying to joke on me. You don't think that's a fair list, honestly?
I don't think Lamar Jackson was a top 10 quarterback last year. And obviously he was hurt. There was a lot of things around him. Came into the year with 1.5 running backs. I don't think he was a top 10 quarterback last year.
Yeah, but this is heading into this season. I'm not really basing it just solely off of what I saw last year. Just who do you think, if healthy, are the top 10 best quarterbacks in the league? And I don't see how you cannot have Lamar Jackson on there, considering how dynamic he is. And they were 7-3 before he got hurt. And then obviously they fell off the face of the earth. So he impacts winning so much. Not the best passer in the world, but as far as his impact, he has to be top 10.
Yeah, we just have, you know, we're different GMs, right? Like, we have a different approach to the game. I think that's the crazy thing about sports, is that everybody can see the game differently. It's completely subjective. Do I think that this was clickbaity? Yes. There's no subjective.
How? You look like I put, like, Jameis Winston in the top 10 or something. Like, those are all good names. Like,
all how is it? It was who the account that was sent it, and I already made my judgment on it.
Wow, that's nasty. That's nasty behavior by you, man.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
In recent news, it looks like Gronk is retiring again, and he's been tagged as one of the greatest tight ends of all time and an influential part of the Bucs winning the Super Bowl in the last few years of his career, which got us thinking about Chiefs players, coaches, or staff we believe have been the most influential in the last decade or so. We've got five names, and it's up to you guys to listen to those five names and either call us absolutely crazy for saying those names, or just come up with your own.
Okay. These are influential for good ways, yeah?
Good ways, good reasons.
So we can't say bad reasons. Like,
we have a list of miles long for bad ones.
Bob Sutton or Brady Quinn. Or who was our call? Was it Brady? Matt Cassel.
Oh, yeah.
D Ford would have been a bad one. He's been like, think how influential D Ford is.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, if you, like, we get on to, like, the players that come in, But imagine if D4 doesn't line up offside.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Think of the amount of people that keep their jobs.
Yeah.
If he doesn't line up offside.
That would be... Do you know what? We've ruined a completely different one that we could have done for this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I would actually argue. I'd put Jeff Triplett in there as well somewhere. I know he wasn't on the books, but, you know.
Maybe. Like, one of these we're going to put in there for a good reason, but also there was a reason for them doing something bad, which also influenced the Chiefs and the way they moved going forward as well. There's so many different avenues we can take this conversation, and I'm sure we end up going down a few extras as we go on. But I'm excited to do this. It's different. It's very June content.
Yeah, it is very June content.
It's very June content, but we've just got to embrace June now, haven't we? We're in it. Brad, put it this way. This is the last podcast we have to record in June until next June.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yes, next time we record a podcast, we'll be in the month of training camp.
Yeah.
Look at it that way. Yeah. That's how close we are to the season now.
And that's when
next month training camp begins. Yeah. Then the following month, the preseason begins. Then the following month, the season begins. We are close.
Do you know what? I think for us to really give some really good content over July, Pete really needs us to fly over there and join a training camp and watch the Chiefs.
Really?
I think we should get onto him. Mind you, after what you spoke about him in the last podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be welcoming us with open arms, put it that way.
You know, there was no comeback from that at all.
Was it not?
No. I feel like it will come. Like, revenge will be a dish best served cold later in the season towards me. But right now, he took the high ground.
And, so it's a bit like Kenobi and Vader, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I have the high ground, Anakin. And
hello there. Yeah,
I underestimated Pete's power. So maybe... Maybe
Star Wars reference shoehorned in like old times, mate. Like old times.
Yeah.
A bit of Star Wars in there. Anyway, should we get cracking with these five names? Because I've got five names and you've got five names. And I've got to be honest, I think your five names are better than mine, but we'll go through it.
Okay.
We'll go through it. Let's get the usual one out of the way first. Yeah. And I think it's something that we probably both agree on. Patrick Mahomes is one of the most influential players the Chiefs have had in the last decade because of who he is, what he's done.
Yeah.
And
are you saying that the guy that was the first Chiefs quarterback taken in the first round in 30 odd years, who won MVP in his first full season and led the Chiefs to a Super Bowl in his second full season, is one of the most influential people in Chiefs history?
That's pretty influential.
I think so.
Yeah,
I would say so. I would say so. What he's done for this city, you were even spouting earlier that he was potential, that he has that much influence that he brought the World Cup to Kansas City. Exactly. That's how much influence this guy has. Yeah. This one's not going to be lost on anyone. It's Patrick freaking Mahomes, for Christ's sake. Everyone knows how influential he is. And I'm already dreading life without Mahomes. Like, I know that we could be 16, 17, 18 seasons away from life without Mahomes, but the way I see it is now is this is sport peaking for me. This is the Chiefs peaking. These next 15 years will be the best of my Chiefs supporting life. I've already had the best years of my Arsenal life. Yeah. And now I've seen the other side of the Arsenal one. And it's not fun. Yeah. It's just not as fun. Like, I saw the greatest Premier League team ever and they were incredible. And ever since then, it's been good, but it's just not been as good. And this is what it's going to be like for life after Mahomes. Yeah. And so I sit here and I just try to savor everything he does, whether that's playing football, or I even sat and watched him play golf a few weeks ago, like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I got up and watched that when he was playing with Josh Allen. I was ill, so I woke up in the middle of the night and I just put it on because I couldn't sleep, but I still watched it and I didn't mind because I hate golf, but I enjoyed it because it's Patrick Mahomes. And there's people always said to me, like, I'm sad for Patrick Mahomes. Like, I have a man crush on him. And yes, I do. Who doesn't have a man crush on Patrick Mahomes? Like, you'd be mad not to. And he's Kansas City's favorite son. And yeah, he will be until the day he dies, which will hopefully be after I do. So, yeah, Patrick Mahomes definitely the most influential
take
guy.
Take me before.
Yeah, exactly. I will sacrifice myself for Patrick Mahomes. Put it this way.
No, but
come on, Vecna. Come get me. Leave Patrick alone.
No, but you're right. I mean, he has been influential, not just obviously for the Chiefs, but obviously for the city. He's really kind of backed, or him and his wife have really kind of backed the women's soccer as well over there. That's been really influential. They've got to where they are with the backing that they've really supported mm-hmm. that project.
Yeah,
he's got a stake in the Royals, for goodness sake. You know, he's even brought in a Whataburger into Kansas City.
Exactly.
All he needs to do now to make his kind of legacy complete is get an NBA team in Kansas City.
Do you think he has that power?
I think he has. If he can bring a World Cup, he can bring an NBA team.
Yeah, by that logic, absolutely. I don't know if I want Casey to have an NBA team.
Did you not see the
video of the guy doing a backflip?
The what?
The video of the guy doing a backflip.
No. I was about the mock-up of the guy that did the KC Rain team.
Okay.
Did you see that?
No.
I'd buy that jersey, and I'm not an NBA fan. It was fire, mate. It was lovely. It was really nice. And I thought the branding on it was just on point.
Yeah.
The name was brilliant. Rain is in like the reign of a king, reign of a monarch. I thought it was on point. I thought that has to be an NBA team.
Do you know what? Like, part of me thinks, oh, yeah, it'd be great. But the other part of me thinks, actually, Kansas City and that whole area going into Kansas, like, has such a close tie to college basketball.
Yeah.
That do they really need the pros there?
Yes.
Like, everyone loves the Jayhawks. Well, all the KU fans love the Jayhawks.
Yeah.
There's a few Mizzou fans, a few K-State. Do they really need an NBA team? And, like, if they had an NBA team, I don't even, like, I would like them, I suppose, but I couldn't move teams. I'm a Mavs boy.
You're a Mavs boy, aren't you?
I'm a Mavs boy since Dirk was drafted. So, yeah. Well,
I'm still undrafted free agent at the minute. I haven't got a team. I'm sat here wearing a Sixers.
You are literally wearing a 76ers jersey as we record this podcast.
I know, but
Allen Iverson, 76ers jersey you are wearing right now.
It's lovely. It's the nicest jersey I've ever seen on an NBA team. So that's why I bought it.
But you haven't got a team. You haven't got a team.
I haven't got a team.
Allen Iverson, what a player he was.
Yeah, great player, wasn't he?
Oh.
I've seen him on his highlights.
Yeah. And you watched a documentary on Netflix once.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
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 Very good.
Very good.
I always remember an advert that Allen Iverson did years and years ago for Reebok, and it had him like dribbling down the street. And he was all in black and a hoodie up, just dribbling down the street and just doing his thing because he's a hell of a dribbler. And in the end, it showed him at a court. And I remember trying to like mimic that when I was younger. It was like, I didn't record myself, obviously, but like trying to, whenever I walked to the court, was constantly trying to like dribble like intensely the whole way, like he was in his advert. Never worked. Almost got run over.
Did you ever do it? Did you ever manage?
No, I almost got run over about 10 times doing it. But,
Anyway, we sidetracked again, haven't we? We do this quite a bit on the podcast. We sidetrack quite a bit. So we've agreed Patrick Mahomes is one of the most top five influential Chiefs ever. Well,
yes.
In the last decade. Mm-hmm. In the last decade. Have you got one that you want to put forward?
Yes. Tyrann Mathieu is one of the top five most influential Chiefs of the last decade.
Yes, I would agree with you there.
Is he in your list, is he?
He's in my list as well, yes.
Okay.
It's going well. It's going well.
The case being that the culture change that followed the 2018 season and that clear out after the debacle what was the 2018 defense was huge. Yes, they bought in Steve Spagnuolo, but what they really needed to bring in was difference makers, culture changers. And I think Tyrann Mathieu was that guy. They talk about Frank Clark also being that guy, being that dog as well. But Tyrann Mathieu was the alpha male in that defensive room, and he was the guy that really sparked the changes that the defense needed. So people can look to like how he left and the fact he didn't get another contract with the Chiefs. I forget all of that. I'm thinking about what he did do for the free season that he was in KC,
yeah.
And especially in that first year and the change around that the defense made to go from an absolute laughing stock to a defensive unit that made like some serious plays, some big time plays in the NFL playoffs, and especially in the back end of the regular season as well. So I think you'd be mad to discount what Tyrann Mathieu done. Defensively, I don't think there is anyone more influential on the Chiefs for the last 10 years mm-hmm. in terms of the impact that it made. Yes, there's players that have had better seasons, Marcus Peters' rookie year. Obviously, the Justin Houston 2014 season with 22 sacks, like monster seasons. But how much influence did they actually have on the Chiefs overall? We can talk about Derek Johnson being amazing for, well, for most of his career, but we're talking about the what he would have been like 3 or 4 years of this decade we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Incredible player. But how much influence did it actually have on the Chiefs' success? Very little compared to what Tyrann Mathieu has done for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Tyrann Mathieu on here as well. I mean, I originally actually thought was Eric Berry as influential? And it really got me thinking about this, because Eric Berry, yes, everything he went through and everything, and you know, the unity that he brought when he came back from obviously his illness that he had was quite it was inspiring, wasn't it? It was really, yes, was inspiring. But like you said, in terms of bringing something towards the team as a whole and really
what they ended up delivering,
making them believe that they could they could really kind of go the whole distance was I think his leadership was definitely on point there. So yeah, that's why I put Tyrann Mathieu in over.
I'm gutted it didn't work out for Eric Berry.
I am as well.
Like, he's not becoming a forgotten player in Chiefs Kingdom, but I feel like he's becoming like an undervalued former Chief. Mm-hmm. And he certainly, if I had to name my top five favorite Chiefs players since I started supporting the team, Eric Berry's in it. I would say so. Eric Berry.
The first jerseys I bought,
Eric Berry, Patrick Mahomes, Jamal Charles, Derek Johnson, and probably Tony G.
Yeah.
Were probably my top five. Not having Kelsey in it. Like, Eric Berry just, like, I miss Eric Berry. I really do. And we never hear from him anymore. Like, he never comes out. He's not on socials anymore. He doesn't do interviews. I'd love to know what his thoughts are on this current Chiefs crop of players. And like, you never hear anything like Arsene, I'd love to play with this Chiefs team now. Like, obviously, when he left the Chiefs, people expected him to get picked up by teams like Dallas or whatever, but that never worked out for him for whatever reasons. Obviously, his injuries were too much to overcome. But I think it's sad that, like, since retirement, that we just don't hear from this guy. And then people talk about Eric Berry and all they bring up is the day-to-day stuff. Yeah. And that's all they can, like, the first thing they talk about Eric Berry, they don't talk about how amazing he was as a player. And this is not everyone. This is just some people, by the way. There's a lot of people do appreciate for what he did, what he done. And they talk about, obviously, all the cancer stuff, all the playing stuff. But to some people, Eric Berry, it's almost like every time they bring him up, all they mention is the day-to-day. It's just like a joke. Mm. A joke thing, and that's kind of sad to me that's the way that Eric Berry is viewed upon by some, but only, I mean, a minority. But unfortunately, with socials, you do see the minority.
I mean, one of the most inspiring games I think I saw of Eric Berry was the Falcons game. Where he was phenomenal that day. Such a great player. And like you said, you know, leadership-wise, he is up there. He is up there as one of the leaders of the Chiefs team and the Chiefs defense. And it's a shame. It's almost like his career fizzled out, and he either lost the love of the game, or you know, he felt as though he couldn't do it anymore after such a real terrible time that he had, obviously with the illness he had.
Yeah, yeah.
And giving it all to get back on the field, but then. After that, just kind of walking away from it all. It's sad. It really is sad. Mm-hmm. And he should be respected a lot more.